find a correction has to be made here.
Huge.
Major correction.
We're issuing a retraction.
Turns out that Sailor Brinkley is not the daughter of Billy Joel.
Yes. No. That's Alexis right. is his daughter.
Right. Who looks just like Billy Joel.
Kinda. Correct.
Yeah. You know what? If you're the child of Christy Brinkley and Billy Joel,
mm-hmm.
and you're a girl.
Bad luck.
Or a boy. The one thing you don't want is to look like the dad.
But although she's a beautiful woman.
Oh, yes.
She is. I just say that her daughter, Sailor, who's on Dancing with the Stars, looks a lot like her mama.
Is that a... Do you think she's a clone? You think she's like one of those direct, like we just remade her in a... Because she does
Laboratory?
Look just like her mom. That is a weird deal.
It is.
Do you see the pictures? Speaking of this, I know I'm going to get all People Magazine on you right here.
Mm-hmm.
But did you see the pictures of Lourdes, Madonna's daughter?
No. What is she up to?
She was at Fashion Week.
Oh.
She looks like a young Lady Gaga.
Ah.
She's really beautiful. I mean, she's like, but she's got that Lady Gaga-esque kind of...
Unique nature?
Yes, exactly.
It's a very nice way to put it.
Well, she's beautiful. Thank you. Wow.
Back from vacation, Lauren Lapka. Didn't take long, did it?
Welcome back. Oh, yeah, your sister got married.
Yes, she did.
Does not look like Lourdes, Madonna's daughter, or Lourdes Duarte, for that
But matter. A very impressive woman, but nonetheless. She's been in the studio several times. We've had a chance to meet her. How was the wedding?
Oh, my gosh. I know nothing is perfect, but it was near perfect.
Oh.
Weather cooperated. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. It was sunny, and then it was cloudy during the reception, so you could actually see. You didn't have to squint or for the pictures, so everything was just beautiful.
Wow. Oh. Very. You know, have you noticed how specific Lauren is about everything?
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
I mean, it's just... No, I mean, just about that. I mean, she gave us, like, a sky condition report. I've never heard when somebody goes, how was the wedding? I've never heard the sky conditions being described before.
Well, I mean, those things, you don't think about until
I know,
they matter.
Now,
and yeah. then you're like, wow, it is really perfect that it's kind of cloudy right now.
Well, we're very happy for her.
Yeah.
She's
Thank
a,
you.
A lovely, lovely, lovely woman, as is her sister. And so, congratulations to the entire Lapka family.
Thank you. She certainly made a very beautiful bride.
And I will say this, that when we were out at your family's house for that party in Orland Park a couple weeks ago, months ago now, there was... The tension in the room was cuttable with a knife. I mean,
from who and
well,
who?
They were getting all, you know, they're getting ready for the wedding.
Yeah.
And I know what this is like. You know, the parents are like, you know.
Oh, man, they've been driving me crazy for months.
Yeah, this has been, this is like, it's an intense thing.
They're like, make sure you pack your suitcase. It's like 3 weeks before we leave.
Oh, that's great. But did everyone in the family have an active role in the planning of the wedding, or is it more on your sister and her husband?
Oh, yeah, it was mostly on them. But, you know, planning to get there, and we're driving there, and what we need to take, and where people are getting picked up from, just little things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course,
like
hosting
the
party room.
They're driving there. They're driving to the Rocky Mountains is where they were driving, where the wedding actually was.
In all fairness, we've been doing that almost every year for as long as I've been alive, and obviously before then for them. So they're pros.
All right.
Nice.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
What is her new name? Or is she going to change it?
She hasn't decided if she's going to change it yet, but if she does, it will be O'Reilly.
O'Reilly. Wow.
Oh, that's sort of strays from the whole Lapka family sort of tradition of having these interesting names with a lot of strange consonants.
So we'll see.
Right?
Right.
What do we have again?
We need to buy a vowel.
Lapka, right. Vranikar, Plabanik.
Right.
They're all there.
Vranikar, Vranikar.
Vranikar, yeah. Right.
And the Plabaniks.
Right.
That's your favorite, Anna.
I love the Plabaniks. It's
right.
just such a good Chicago name. Like, oh, yeah, they're the Plabaniks' house.
Yeah.
I grew up with Plabaniks.
We're going over by Plabaniks for Easter. Who's going to go?
Where are the kids?
We're going by the Plabaniks.
You're at the Plabaniks. Be home by 5. That's how it is.
Right.
But O'Reilly, okay, I guess that works.
Well, that's a very Chicago
name. It's just
name.
Different
yeah.
than
Bridgeport. Yeah, that's a thing.
We just now have the Chicago Polish people and the Chicago Irish people.
Yes.
All big one happy family.
Well,
one big happy family.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of both. Let's just put it that way. A lot of both. All right. Coming up, Ben Bradley is going to join us here. R. Kelly's bail angel is not getting her $100,000 back.
No. Uh-oh.
Wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got to do to bail a soul singer out? What do you got to do?
I wonder if that was his money. It seemed like it was hers.
We're going to find out about that. And then coming up after Ben, at the bottom of the, after the bottom of the hour news, Chicago has new rules on weed stores, which are ruining my plans for economic development.
Certainly accessibility from, you know, where you have to go. If you want to walk to your weed store, Ro, I don't know. It's looking kind of rough for you right now.
Right. And now I can't even, now I can't vape anything.
Right. Vaping's out. Weed
I just started
is be...
vaping and I can't vape anymore. I vaped once in California.
And I'm surprised you're not afraid of dying already.
Oh my God. You have no idea.
You've already been to your pulmonologist?
Yes.
When this just whole thing... check it out. Let's get some x-rays, all right?
So when did you do it? 2 months ago. And have you had any coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath? No. But I know I got it.
Oh, yeah. Let's get some x-rays.
Yep. All right. Anyway.
Real strong.
Thanks. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's going on with the news at the bottom of the hour?
Ro, the CBOE is making some changes. We'll bring you the details coming up.
Then there's this. Celebrate 25 years of Chicago Television's number one morning show. Watch a live two-hour special full of memorable moments on the WGN-TV Morning News 25th anniversary special. It is tonight at 7 p.m.
Woo-hoo.
We're going to have Annabella Val on later.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that very event.
Now, Ben?
Yes.
Do they make you show up and kiss the ring?
Well, you know, I was a little upset. Joe Donlan just told me that he got invited to be in the WGN Fun Lounge this evening during the live broadcast, and I did not receive such an invitation.
What's the WGN Fun Lounge?
It's apparently a part of the show. What I'm telling myself is that it's like the president and vice president. We both can't be in the same room.
Oh,
same, you know, so like,
right.
You've got Potash here, you've got Donlan in the building.
Right.
You know, one of us needs to be in the bunker.
I will say that I found myself not invited to that either.
It's going to be a great show. There have been a ton of people working for weeks in this building around the clock.
I can't believe it.
Pulling up, you know, Robin and Larry at the old. They're digging deep into the archives when they're not looking, on their desktop computers for video clips. They're not looking in their, you know, XD players. They're not even looking in beta tapes. They're looking like 3/4-inch tape.
Let me put that from broadcast to English. Yeah. That means that the stuff they're looking at is really old.
Yeah, they're on like disco vision.
Well, it's like three times the size of a VHS tape.
Yeah, yeah.
They're huge.
Like, right.
Yeah. And there are some people who don't even know what a VHS tape is, Anna. So.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of translations
exactly.
Necessary for this. But 25 years, I just don't know how you boil that down to 2 hours. There have been so many funny, creative bits. There have been so many interesting things that have happened just spur of the moment organically on that show.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of the clips, and they are outstanding. You can actually vote for your favorite on the station webpage, WGNTV.com.
Wow.
But I'm looking forward to it because not only are they going to be looking back, but I think there's going to be some fun surprises. They've got a little studio audience coming in.
Mm.
And they're waxing the floors at WGN, which that's generally how we know we either got new owners or there's a big show.
Both.
Both.
Are the new owners going to be there?
No.
Oh.
Mercifully for all of us.
Yeah.
You saw what
they
happened when
Wednesday.
They came in,
uh-huh.
Right? To like kick the tires.
Yeah,
and
they rolled
had a
out
belly
the red
dancer,
carpet.
Our security director Friday, I used her curling iron to magnetometer the CEO. It's amazing the deal went through after that.
They're like, what are we doing? What are we
yeah.
buying?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, it's really going to be something. Really looking forward to it.
That's yeah. awesome.
They've come up here, and they left a bunch of banker's boxes in my office, and I wasn't exactly sure what that was about.
Why'd you ask them?
It's not good when the CEO looks at you and goes, do you work here?
Yeah. Who are you?
Right.
Yeah.
And then I that happened, and I said, Ro Khan, the afternoon show at WGN. Oh. Mm. And then he just kept walking.
Oh, yeah, I've seen your name on a list. Which
wait a minute. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Right. So how about this R. Kelly story today?
Yeah, yeah, let's talk about that.
This is wild. So you remember back in February when R. Kelly was sitting in the Cook County Jail at 26 in California after being charged with those sex assault cases here in Cook County, and a mystery woman stepped forward to post a 10% of the $1 million bond. Her name, Valencia Love. She posted $100,000 so R. Kelly could go free. Everyone was shocked that R. Kelly apparently didn't have the financial wherewithal to post his own bond. And so this woman, who owns a restaurant in Blue Island and apparently met Kelly on a cruise or someplace along the way, steps forward and posts bond for the singer. So he got to enjoy a couple of days on the outside. You may remember he went straight from the Cook County lockup to the old rock and roll McDonald's downtown.
Right. His old cruising spot.
Mm-hmm. TV. I don't think you're supposed to say cruising spot like that.
Well, I thought he would kind of drive by and hang out outside. Wasn't that what we had
TV been news, helicopters going overhead, et cetera. Well, now, of course, Mr. Kelly is in federal custody after being hit with federal charges, which supersede the local case typically. And Valencia Love has come forward. Her attorneys filed a motion in Cook County saying, hey, can our client get her money back? She wants that $100,000 back today. A judge reportedly said no, which when you think about it is a little surprising, right? Because bond money, bail money, has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. Mm-hmm. It's merely to basically provide some sort of collateral assuring that if we let you go, you're going to show up for court. Well, he's in custody, and so he's not going anywhere anytime soon. But the judge said that Ms. Love actually signed a document that says something to the effect of your money can be used in certain scenarios to pay for attorney's fees, court costs, and other things associated with this case. So apparently it was on that grounds that he...
She's losing. So, is she going to lose all the money?
Well, we don't know that. We don't know.
Would this mean R. Kelly is using that money from the woman who saved him at a tough time?
I think what the judge was saying is while Mr. Kelly's finances are in question, and they are, the money that was posted for bond could potentially be used to pay for his defense.
Oh, that's where you got to read the fine print.
Yeah.
And all the bond paperwork. Got to do that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Every time I post bond, I read the fine. Excuse me. I'm going to have to read the fine print here. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, I need my reading glasses. Can we go back and get them? And secondly, I'm going to need about an hour.
No.
Yeah. A judge said that a judge might order that money be used to pay for his attorney fees, court costs, fines, and other expenses.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
We're going to have a fundraiser for her now.
Hmm.
And she's a small business owner in Blue Island. That's a lot of dough for her to be.
What kind of good idea was that?
I didn't seem like it at the time, let's be honest.
Well, and there were a lot of questions about, you know, who this woman was, right? Like, was she some sort of actual longtime friend of R. Kelly's? Was she a super fan, et cetera? We looked into it. Our Megan Dwyer reported back in February that she lives in Romeoville, had owns a popular brunch spot in Blue Island. But she had also had a bankruptcy filing and some court cases against her. And then in another case, she actually won a settlement. She told her Megan Dwyer, sorry.
Was she over there now? You know what?
You wondered where she went.
I'm going to tell you something. That morning show special is going to get even better tonight. Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but she told Megan that none of the money from this settlement that she had was used for R. Kelly's bond. She said, hey, I'm a successful businesswoman, and I chose to spend my money this way.
Got it.
Well, she wants it back.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Once again.
Who would think that Felicity Huffman would be going to prison before...
R. Kelly?
R. Kelly.
All right. Thank you.
It's very interesting.
Thank you, Benjamin. We'll speak with you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Ben.
All right. We got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2. Well, this explains everything that's going to happen after January 1.
Don't worry. It'll be fine.
Until I got high. I was going to get up and find the broom. But then I got high. My room is still messed up. And I know why.
Why?
Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Afroman forgot to do another song because he got high.
Yeah, he needs a follow-up. But don't tell him that. He might just forget.
That was a hit 15 years ago. It still hasn't had time to get back in the studio because he got high.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's going to be fine.
All right. So the mayor has a plan for the city of Chicago and the pot stores where pot retail places can be. And she's cut off downtown.
Right. The whole downtown business district, the central business district, out. No pot sales.
All right. Gregory Pratt joins us from the Chicago Tribune, City Hall reporter. Greg, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, and you sound a little disappointed.
I am.
You picking up on that?
Yeah. I just.
Bro lives in the Central Business District.
I just started vaping the pot in July of this year. Or no, August. That's, you know what? I've forgotten already.
Then you got high.
Okay, I did it once. But it was interesting. I did it a couple times in high school. I hated it. Now I did it, and I'm feeling, you know, I'm a little bit more of an adult. I'm like, hey, maybe I'll add this to my repertoire. What could possibly go wrong is the way I look at it, because everything else has. So if you can't do it on Michigan Avenue, because there was actually a push to get one of the big high-end retailers, and there are high-end retailers. I did this for research purposes, Greg. Don't you worry about it. Out in California, the high-end retailers out there, they are big business in that state. And there was talk of using the old Apple store, which is on Michigan Avenue, on the east side of Michigan Avenue, I think at Huron, if I'm not mistaken, that taking that particular space and making that the one of these high-end multi-level cannabis dispensaries. No longer now. They can't do it. And all these Michigan Avenue developers are like, now what are we going to do? So what do we know about this? What do we know about what
the why part of it?
Yeah.
Well, the mayor doesn't want them downtown. I think they talk about equity. They want to spread it out in neighborhoods more than downtown. That's a part of it. And they're going to run into some resistance, though. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, just about half an hour ago, I talked to downtown alderman Brendan Riley, and he said, I want the pot stores downtown.
Yeah.
I want some pot stores downtown.
All right, he's going to be on with us tomorrow.
Why did he want some of them downtown? Just because he thinks they're good businesses to have?
Well, he says he seems to not be as big a fan of the pot as you are, but he said that he wanted more revenue. You know, the city is broke and needs a lot more money, and this is where it's going to make more money, which is an argument that makes a lot of sense. And he also said equity is fine, and he also supports equity, but making it so that you have to go just a little further to, like, Fulton Market instead of coming downtown, that's not equity.
No, well, Fulton Market's got enough.
There's a lot going on there. But, I also wonder if, and I understand the argument about equity and spreading it out. I know she's going to get students involved and the city colleges. She wants kids who are from low-income backgrounds to be part of this new business opportunity. I understand all that. I just wonder if you're going to put all these in neighborhoods, aren't there going to be a lot of communities and residents that are going to be not so thrilled that they're setting up shop right by their house? I mean, do you think that's going to be something we'll see?
I suspect that the NIMBY element on this will be very high wherever it goes.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Whatever neighborhood.
Because you're going to, people get mad about pet stores going up in their neighborhoods. So, I mean, that's a part of it. And obviously this is much more serious and touches a nerve in a way that, like, a pet shop doesn't. But I'm sure it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It'll be interesting to see how much give and take the administration does as far as downtown. I will say Alderman Riley also said he's opposed to marijuana on the Magnificent Mile. He doesn't want it there. He doesn't want it on State Street, which would rule out the Apple Store. And it's kind of interesting.
All right. Greg, thanks very much. Appreciate your time. Gregory Pratt from
thanks,
the Chicago
Greg.
Tribune. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Well, Riley will be on with us tomorrow, and we can talk about this. Because I think, first of all, State Street. Have you seen State Street?
Yeah, there's
What's
parts
wrong with
of State Street struggling, right? You just wonder if something like this would be okay there. We'll have to ask the alderman what his thinking is there.
Yeah.
You sort of get the Mag Mile piece of it. I haven't seen these high-end, high-tech sort of dispensary-type places
just
that you
saw.
Just
imagine the Apple Store and with pot. That's it. It's the exact same thing. It's tables that you go up to, people who have they've got earphones, and tablets, and they just come up to you and they start talking to you.
But the Magmile's known for big brands and, you know, high end and like experience, and it's that would be a departure, right? That's a definite departure to what we know the Magnificent Mile for. It's more family friendly, right? You go in and out of the Disney store, you've got the hotel
Disney
communities.
So we don't have to worry about them anymore.
Okay, well,
that should be a heroin store. That'll be next.
And what about American Girl?
That's further down the block, and that's also it's tucked into Water
that's
Tower.
That's gotta
Place.
Go. We want the vaping store in there. Okay, right, we're vaping.
Right.
We'll just redefine the whole district.
We have to do a swingers shop over at where American Girl Doll is. I think that's what we need.
CBD oils. I mean, yeah. We just got to redo the whole thing. We'll tell the alderman what to do tomorrow.
I got the whole thing worked out.
You'll soon be able to buy it for your doll, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, Molly and her joint comes with extra side of leaves.
Right. Mango vaping for your American Girl doll.
Exactly. Just a gigantic sex shop. What's wrong with that?
I mean, she already has the tie-dye outfit, so why not?
She's already in the headband.
So what? Okay. See, here's the deal. This is why a pot store, a high-end pot store, first of all, they like everything else. The retailers are stratified. So it's not like you're walking into a store that, you know, these are high-end stores. They're expensive. The stuff is status-related that you're buying in California now. The equipment, the brands, the whole thing. They're the Louis Vuitton of pot that I'm talking about. And you could put a store like that on Michigan Avenue because that's what they expect on Michigan Avenue. And you get international tourism. You get a lot of tourists are going to go to it. It's not necessary for the neighborhood because then you face it. I mean, that neighborhood, but the people who live in that neighborhood, you know, I think that it's an older base of people. I don't see them being gigantic consumers of it. This is more about trying to get people who are coming into town to buy and then leave.
So
not taking on the airplane.
Remind me, you can't go out on the street and smoke still.
No.
There's no public weed kind of consumption. You can go buy it, but then you have to take it to a designated area or your house, I presume,
right,
in order to smoke it or consume it.
Right. I mean, people who smoke it will be smoking it in their hotel rooms and stuff like that. And, you know, the vape pen, which is, you know, really taking it on the chin the last couple of days. So that's
got
its own problem.
For that.
Yeah. But illegal, you know, I don't know what I don't even want to begin to speculate about what's happening with that. But that's going to be, you know, once they get that figured out, that's going to be the mode of transmission that's most popular.
Yeah, I just wonder how much there's going to be. I predict there'll be a ton of pushback when you decide, okay, this is where it's going to go in Lincoln Square. Here's where the pot shop's going to go in Bridgeview. Here's where Bridgeport. Here's where it's going to go. You know, you name all the neighborhoods, Rogers Park, whatever. Aren't those neighbors who live within a certain distance going to start protesting and not be happy about this? Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people will be thrilled that it's moving into their neighborhood.
I don't think because
they're setting up a procedure with the zoning board that you can then protest it. You can come in for public hearings and you can contest the location. And I just think that that's going to be a major hang up in this process. If you don't put it in like a retail district where it's all businesses, where it isn't right next to a home or within a few yards of a home, it's going to cause neighbors to come forward and say, I don't want that. That's what I predict.
Probably, but then they won't. But see it in other neighborhoods, and they're going to see that it's not what they think it is.
That's probably true.
Cell phone stores, not the big ones, not AT&T, Verizon, stuff like that. But I'm talking about, you know, the corner shop that's, you know, selling credit cards and cell phones and all that sort of stuff. That's a bigger nuisance than the pot stores are going to be.
Buy your burner here.
Right.
Right. Burners
are on over there. What are they doing to your phones? You know, they bring them in the phones and they do special things to them.
Hey, wait a second. So I think people are going to misunderstand what this is. They know there are already retail cannabis outlets throughout Chicago. Well, I think there's six in the city. Maybe it's six in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a beautiful one, you know, not too far from the United Center.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a place that people have been buying pot for over 100 years almost. So
it's been some commerce in that parking lot area.
Ever since Jazz, there has been the people have been buying pot over there in the West Loop. All right.
Well, I mean, look. The mayor's also setting up the situation where she wants everyone to profit from the business opportunities, and I totally applaud that effort. It just, the downtown district thing is it's kind of a head-scratcher.
All right, more on this tomorrow. I see what you did there. Head-scratcher. I get it. Okay. Can we now talk to Kim about what's going on in the news at the top of the hour in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom?
If you owe back state taxes, now may be a good time to pay up. We'll have more on a new amnesty program coming up.
Real Concho with Anna DeVlantis, yes, on 720 WGN. All right, Senator Dick Durbin is joining us right now, senior senator of the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And, Senator, thank you, as always, for being with us.
Good to be with you.
A couple different things. Since this is happening in real time for us right now, the elections are too close to call in Israel. What is your take on what's going to happen there?
I'm not a fan of Bibi Netanyahu. I think his approach, confrontational approach, his settlement policy, I don't believe is really leading Israel in the right direction toward a peaceful resolution of conflicts with the Palestinians and others. And so I hope that the people of Israel see it the same way, but of course I'll respect their judgment.
There is going to have to be the creation of a new government. There's not an overwhelming winner here, it doesn't appear, at least based on the exit polls. We'll know more. This plays into exactly what's going on, though, in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and in Iran. Do you believe that Iran was behind those attacks in Saudi Arabia? Is that your sense?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, and I think it's retaliation. Just follow the scenario here. The United States, through President Trump, withdraws from the nuclear agreement, an agreement that was entered into by a half a dozen countries, China, Russia, the European Union, England, and so forth, that stopped the Iranians from developing nuclear weapons. President Trump said, I'm opposed to that agreement from the start. When he got his chance, he eliminated it. Then he started hyping up the pressure on the Iranians. Now, make no mistake, they're not good actors. They are involved in terrorism, and I'm not making any excuses for that. But the president has been escalating this relationship since he withdrew from that agreement, and he's been cutting off their export of oil, which is the source of a lot of revenue coming into Iran. Now, they're retaliating. They stopped tankers that were coming through the straits and threatening others, and now this hit on a Saudi oil facility. I mean, I didn't see any fingerprints on the scene, and I'm not likely to ever see those, but it wouldn't surprise me if Iran was behind this. This is further evidence of the escalation between our two countries.
Is there anything that you would like to see done there?
Well, let me tell you, the president says we're locked and loaded. Wait a minute, Mr. President. The United States does not have a mutual security agreement to protect Saudi Arabia. We have not committed ourselves, our troops, the lives of our men and women, nor our treasury to the defense of Saudi Arabia. And if the president wants to retaliate in this situation against Iran in some form, the Constitution is very clear. He comes to Congress for authority. He doesn't have the authority to do that today. I don't know anybody imagines he does. But, you know, when he makes these threats about we're locked and loaded as if he's prepared for an invasion, I have to remind him he is bound by the same Constitution that I'm bound by.
You know, there is an aversion, I think, to using military force in the region. I think many of us sort of, you know, we have a visceral reaction when we hear that kind of thing, that this is escalating in that manner. But then you look at Iran, an actor like that, and you wonder, how does this play out in the best case scenario, Senator? What do you think could happen here that would put our minds at rest?
Well, I want to back you up and say I'm not making a defense of Iran. They are engaged in conduct now in the Middle East. They have terrorized the United States and our troops in the past, and I'm not dismissing it or ignoring it. But I think we were on the right track with the Iran nuclear agreement. We stopped the development of nuclear weapons. We put international inspectors on the ground to verify it. It was working. I met with those inspectors, the lead inspectors, and they told us every door is open. When we knock on a door, it opens. So we feel like they're being open and candid with us. That was a step in the right direction. But instead of moving in that direction, the president went in the opposite direction, walked away from the agreement and said, we're going to go toe-to-toe with these folks. And that kind of escalation of rhetoric and threats and sanctions, unfortunately, leads to bad consequences. We live in a dangerous world. The president of the United States is commander-in-chief of the strongest, greatest military in the world, has to be careful in the rhetoric he uses. And when you say you're locked and loaded, for goodness sakes, it's an open threat. I'm sure your listeners remember, and some of them have been touched personally, we have been engaged in the longest wars in the history of the United States in Iraq and Afghanistan. 18 years. We have lost thousands of American lives, spent trillions of dollars. So the notion that we're going to just drop in, solve the problem, and leave hasn't proved to be the case in those two countries.
Yeah, well, and it certainly could not be in Iran either. Iran is a highly industrialized country.
It is, and it would be a substantial threat to the United States. Do I think we would prevail in some fashion? Of course. But it would be long and bloody and wouldn't end quickly.
Right. I agree with you on that. But the real question is, do we come to the defense of Saudi Arabia, who is our stated ally, regardless of the fact that they too have been bad actors along the way here, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of ways?
Well, you raise the right point, Ro. I mean, when it comes to the kingdom, as the president calls it, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they were murdering a resident of the United States in Turkey and chopping up his body to dispose of it, and with bone saws or whatever the heck they were using.
Right.
They have been engaged in this war in Yemen, which has become one of the worst humanitarian disasters in the region, and we have been facilitating it by helping them target when they do their bombing raids. It is a country which was linked to 9/11, and the exact investigation, the intelligence investigation about the details, have never been released to the American public. So, you know, this isn't kind of a strained relationship at this moment. I, as I said at the outset, I know for a fact we're not party to a treaty to protect and defend Saudi Arabia. We ought to think twice before we commit America's military for any period of time for that purpose.
Okay, Congress back in session now. Obviously, you're in the fall session, so as much as can possibly get done there, because next year, you know, nothing will get done in the fall session. Where do you think gun control stands?
Well, the president called me on another matter several weeks ago. It was right after one of the terrible shootings, and I can't recall, but I think it was Dayton, Ohio. He volunteered at the beginning of the conversation, Dick, we're going to have background checks. Serious. You'll be so proud of him. We're going to do it. And I wish I could tell you that I believed him when he said it. I thought, you haven't run into the buzzsaw of the gun lobby coming back at you and saying you better not do it. Well, now he's run into it, and he's backing off, unfortunately, from any commitment for serious background checks. Think about any other issue in the United States where 90 to 95% of the American people agree, Democrats and Republicans, serious background checks, so that people who are convicted felons and mentally unstable don't buy firearms? I mean, for goodness sakes, that's just common sense. And now the president's backing off of it. The people who are negotiating it, the senators who are negotiating it, are really glum this week. They just don't feel like this is moving forward. If there's ever a moment when the American electorate has to speak up and stand up and eventually vote on this issue, now's the time if we're ever going to end this bloody gun death that's going on in our country.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, the issue of vaping. Obviously, there are states that are going, municipalities and states that are making moves now in terms of limiting the sale of whether it's the vaping cartridges, the vaping pens themselves, or whatever the device is.
Right.
There is obviously there's
citywide bans proposed, as in Chicago. Mayor Lightfoot,
sure.
I know you joined with her, Senator Durbin, in that effort. And is that the right way to go?
I think it is. Vaping targets kids. We know this. 2 years ago, 10% of high school students were vaping. A year ago, it was 20%. Now it's 27%. More than one out of four high school students, 10% of middle school students. 5 million kids are vaping. The nicotine hit on one of those vaping devices is 20 times the hit on a tobacco cigarette. It's highly addictive and dangerous. The seventh young person died just hours ago in California from vaping. A doctor I ran ran into in Chicago at a breakfast on Monday, who'd just done his rounds at a major hospital, I won't name names, told me there are three more kids who are virtually on life support at this moment because of vaping in the Chicago area. This is serious.
It's underreported. I'm here to tell you that it is the numbers of cases here are underreported. And it's funny, when you talk to people, you know, you have either first or second or third degree knowledge of somebody who's had a problem here.
Right.
So that tells you that there's real numbers.
It's serious.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, and your listeners will be a little bit surprised. Hats off to the Trump administration. They did the right thing last week. They said to Juul, stop claiming that you're a healthy alternative to smoking with cigarettes, because there's no proof that you are. When we see children using your product and we see children moving from vaping to tobacco cigarettes, that's no public health thing to brag about. The second thing they did, they're shutting down the sale of these flavors that these kids are attracted to. Razzle Dazzle Berry, Gummy Bears, Fruit Loops, all these different flavors. Do you think a 50-year-old chain smoker is looking for Fruit Loops flavor?
No. So, I don't think so.
I know a few who might. But
yeah. I guess
the president and first lady spoke up on it, and I commend them. I have ever since. They've done the right thing.
Senator Durbin, the one big pushback I've heard on this whole thing is that banning them sends them back underground, and that the evidence, we don't know yet, but the overwhelming evidence so far seems to show that the people showing up with the respiratory illnesses and among the deaths were buying these illicit sort of THC-laced vaping materials and weren't buying them more from dispensary type of stores. How do you respond to that?
Well, we haven't nailed down exactly what's killing kids. We know that the 400 or so that we have reported into emergency rooms and hospitals, incidentally, a third of them go right into intensive care units. It's that serious. We know that there's some of them have used this THC or cannabis compound and laced it into their devices. I just want to tell you, we got to put an end to this. The next kid who starts tomorrow should not have started. And if we say, well, 5 million have already done it, maybe we'll have to take another 5 or 10 million before we get around to it. Shame on us. Some of these kids are going to die, and some of their health situations will be compromised by this addiction. I don't know of any parent who says, hey, great news, my kid just started vaping. Nobody's going to say that. And if you ask the principals and teachers, they'll tell you, as Ro just said, it's a heck of a lot worse than is currently being reported in schools across the United States, large and small. Right. It's time to step up and do something decisive.
And one of the problems that they're having here is when they bring these kids in, they're reticent to talk about exactly what they did. You know, they don't necessarily want to admit that they were using some of these, like, homemade, essentially. They just, you know, as you know, Senator, they just raided that place on the Wisconsin-Illinois border.
Right, those two brothers.
We're making these things, and they think there may be a link, a connection to some of that product with some of these problems. So that, you know, that's there certainly is that. Just the idea, though, of drawing that kind of you know, hot steam into your lungs, and especially if it has an oil or wax base to it, you know, every pulmonologist is going to tell you that is, you know, it's a recipe for disaster. So
it's terrible. And what I'm trying to get across is, when it comes to the nicotine addiction, which is part of this thing, it is a nicotine hit dramatically larger than tobacco cigarettes. And these kids don't know it. They don't know what they're getting into. They think it's harmless. They're listening to these Juul advertisements, and they think it's harmless. It's not.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Senator.
And listen, my hats off to Mayor Lightfoot. She stepped right up on Monday morning. I didn't know she was going to make the announcement. The city's going after it, and I hope that our suburban communities will join. The faster our state can move on this, better for our kids. Thank you.
Thanks,
Senator Durbin.
Senator Durbin.
Yeah, one of the ones in Wisconsin, they was packaged, those two boys, when they raided their house. Boys, they're 29 years old. It was Sour Patch Kids product, you know, and it was packaged just like Sour Patch Kids. You know, it's like, what is that? Who's that intended for?
But it had THC in it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you might notice in my new Michigan Avenue pot store that I'm hoping to be.
You won't find that?
No, you will find that.
Oh, you will. You'll have that.
There are some flavored things that do go, you know.
Take that candy store down and put, like, you know, candy flavored real vaping cigarettes.
I mean, I think what they're going to find here is that maybe not all the cases, but a number of the cases are going to be linked to this homemade product that is going out. Because the companies that are making real product, I mean, we know where they live. We know where their headquarters are, and they can get sued. You know, some jagweed, you know, in his garage is not thinking about worrying about getting sued. He's worried about getting his next barrel of cash.
That's right.
Out of this. So that's the, you know, in terms of quality control. And, you know, you're taking this stuff into your lungs.
I know.
And you're coating your lungs with wax internally. Yet just think about that for a second. I promise in my new pot store, we will not have this problem.
Good. Glad to hear.
Right.
Quality control.
It's going to be Gummy Bear Central. Oh, you got to watch the gummy bears.
That too.
Yeah, because the adults haven't figured that out yet. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, it's the first gummy bear, and like 45 minutes later, you go, I think nothing is happening. And then you take another one, and then look out!
And then you're talking to a real gummy bear.
Right.
Life size.
Right. Four days later, you're still coming down.
That happens.
Yep. All right, let's talk about what's happening in the news with Kim Gordon. Bottom of the hour, what's happening?
And speaking of that, Mayor Lightfoot has released her plan for the location of pot stores in Chicago. We'll tell you where they won't be coming up.
On a boat somewhere.
Where?
Anywhere, I don't care. It could be your birthday party. Sorry, not sorry. Shorty, let down your hair.
Okay.
It might seem ridiculous.
Yeah, a little bit.
But you'd be lying if you say it ain't delicious. Give me that grapefruit mango lime. My white girl wishes.
Hashtag.
Yeah, I got a sixer, a seltzer calling my name. No shame in my game. Cause there ain't no laws when you're drinking claw. You can have a good time anytime. Feels like summertime. They drunk just be gone. You can dance in the hall.
This is the new... This is the summer into the fall theme of the
White
Claw
song
with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
And we're here at 720 WGN or WGN everywhere if the White Sox are on. All right, let me say this. That a list of the millennial names has been released. This, finally, this analysis that we need thank God social science is really focusing on important things.
Like what?
Like what the naming trends are.
Oh.
For parents of millennials.
Okay.
Right? How they're naming their kids. And I find this interesting because this is very much like the stereotype that we have created about millennials who are just gathering on boats in Lake Michigan on a hot Saturday afternoon, walking between the boats, tying up next to each other, drinking the White Claws, and every once in a while, one just goes missing.
Classic Becca.
Mm-hmm.
So these are what millennials are naming their babies.
No, this is what millennials are, their names are.
Oh.
Their names are. Millennials naming their babies. I'd like to see that list. We have that?
There would be like no trend. Everyone's like, nope, only my kid is named this name.
That's right.
Why we chose it.
Anakar. This is my child, Anakar. What? It is Anakar. It's good for a boy or
you
a
just
girl.
Stole my family's last name and got rid of the V.
That's right. I noticed that.
Anar.
The Vranikars.
That's true, I did, didn't I? That's not what I meant to do, though. All right, so here you go. So for the girls, turns out if you were born between 1981 and 1995, which is what they're looking at here.
Okay.
Pew Research, they're good.
That's reliable.
In descending order, or ascending order, from 25 to 1, you got Amy, Laura, Kimberly, Christina, Michelle, Rebecca, Tiffany, Danielle, Amber. See, the closer you get to the more popular, the more strippery they become.
Oh, gosh, strippery. Which one's strippery?
Amber's.
Anything with an I instead of a Y.
Well, that's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
Heather, Rachel, Lauren. Sorry, Lauren. You're right in the middle.
You're
14.
In there. That's not too bad, but my middle name is Michelle, so I don't know if that makes it worse.
Yes, so you're a double.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Melissa, Megan, Samantha, Emily. That did make a comeback. Some of these names are like, you know, turn-of-the-century names that made it. Like, Emily was one of those, and it's made a comeback. Nicole, at number 9. That's your sister.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
But we haven't gotten to her middle name yet, so that's also good.
We've got some time. At your top 10 are Emily, Nicole, Brittany, Elizabeth, Stephanie, Sarah, Amanda, Jennifer, Ashley, and number 1, anybody want to hazard a guess?
We already had Becca.
Did we say Brittany?
You said Brittany.
Did you mention Caitlin?
Oh, that's a good call.
Jessica, number one.
Yeah, I know a lot of Jessicas.
I know a lot of Jesses, Jessicas.
Jesse, they go by sometimes.
So right. So you got the... basically, you can't do anything to shorten an Amy. I guess AIM, or Ames, if you were a hockey player.
Yeah. Well, hey there, Ames. Want a claw?
Michelle is... They used to take Michelle and make it Shelley. They don't do that so much anymore.
You don't hear that, no.
No. Then, obviously, Christina, Chris, and all that. Becca for Rebecca.
There are a lot more traditional names on that list than I would have expected.
I know.
Because it seems like names are getting so much, as Lauren pointed out, so much more individualistic. I have had friends who want to make sure they don't even tell anybody their baby name because they're afraid others will take the baby name, and they want their baby to be the only baby they know in the whole school system or the whole planet or the zip code. I don't know. That's named that particular name.
That's what millennials are doing for their babies.
That's right.
What I want to see that list.
Yeah,
because it's like a 30-year gap here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because these are pretty traditional names.
Right. These are all cookie-cutter names.
All right, so here's your boys. Top 25 boys' names. Kyle, Tyler, Eric. We forgot about Tyler on the boat.
I was going to say, it already sounds like the entire boat.
Yeah, Brad and Chad.
Brad and Chad. Tyler's the wild card for sure. He's a little Eddie. He was the first one with tattoos in high school. It's like, dude, Tyler got a tattoo, man.
Oh, his brother Kyle. His brother Kyle's going to... You know, his brother Kyle started vaping when he was 8. Eric, Brian, Kevin.
Oh.
21, Kevin.
No big deal.
Jason, Jacob. Tons of Jacobs.
There are. A lot of
Jakes.
Yeah. I think that had to do, honest to God, I think it had to do with that amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat show. I swear to God. I just think that was it.
16 Candles. The guy was Jake.
Yeah. Anthony.
That's how it's pronounced in certain neighborhoods.
Right. That's an old school. That's 100 years and counting,
yeah,
right there.
That's multi-generational.
Hey, Ant. Jonathan. William. Nicholas. Brandon. That's a big one. Justin. Ryan. Robert. Joseph. See, the biblical
Joseph
thing.
Right.
Joseph and the Jacob and all that. That's, you know. And we're getting into another one here. So you got Joseph, John. There's another one. Andrew, James. Another one. Daniel, David. Another one. Joshua at number 4. I mean, how many guys you know named Josh?
I know a lot.
I know a few Joshes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of Joshes.
Yeah.
Josh, big. With the millennials.
But another one that's...
Josh is the responsible one on the boat, though. There's a guy on the boat.
He's the captain.
Right. He's the guy. No, he's the guy who's like, hey, guys. Guys, be careful running between the boats.
I think you've had enough White Claw, okay?
Yeah. I'm sorry, officer.
Gonna lock up
I'll
the stash.
Keep an eye on my friends. They just had a little too much to drink.
Right.
Josh, could you drive me home?
My name's Joshua.
And Matthew, Christopher, and Michael at number 1.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Michael. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. Isn't that the number 1 name for maybe even Generation X, too? It seems like... such a popular name.
Is X the one before us?
Oh, well,
yes.
X and even coming out of
baby boomers.
I'm telling you, you know, one of the tricks, you call a Greek restaurant and goes, Nick there. That's, we know that trick.
Nick George.
If you're walking into a party and you don't know anybody and you're just trying to crash it and somebody comes up to you and says, what are you doing? I go, well, Mike told me to be here.
Yeah, who do you know?
Because
there's
four mics in the room. Which one? That one over
typically
there.
True.
Yeah. So just go with Mike.
Every room.
Right. So it's very common, and it's always going to be whatever it's going to be. All right, I got them. I got the list.
Okay, the list.
The 2018 list of names.
Of what? List of what names? What
baby
millennials
names.
Are calling their babies?
Baby names.
Most popular names that were given out in the year of 2018.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
There you go. All right.
Thank you.
So I have the top 10 baby names by boy and girl. Girl. Layla, Mia, Amelia. None of these actually are... There's not a single one that was in that list I just gave you.
Not so far.
Riley. These all sound like dog names to me. Riley! Come here, Riley!
It's a cute name.
Arya. These are girl names. Isabella.
Well, from Arya Stark in Game of Thrones.
Ava.
Mm-hmm.
Emma. Olivia. And Sophia.
Pretty names.
Did you notice that with the exception of Riley, they all end in an A.
I was going to say, like, I can't, I feel like you named all the names of friends' babies that I've heard so far, but they all kind of blur together because they sort of have the same sound.
Biniba, the A. Something la.
There's a Bella, there's a Nana.
That's true. There's
Olivia,
a lot of that.
Sophia. I'm like, who's who? Which one's who? I don't know.
But that's good for you, Kevin, because you could be like, how's the
They don't expect me to know their names anyway, so
in
I'm off the hook.
Crowded bar.
They're like, Kevin's not going to know their name.
How's Mike doing?
Which one's Mike?
With the baby, right? Named Lizada?
You mean Michaela?
Right. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I stumbled
yeah,
over
that's
there.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. How's Ah-Ah? I just call her Ah-Ah for short. Watch your mouth. 10 baby boy names of 2018. Here we go.
Okay.
Elijah.
That's a nice name.
Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I know. I just never got the Oliver.
Why?
Thing. I have one of my closest friends named the kid Oliver, and I just nodded. He's like, and we shall name him Oliver. And I'm really? Like, I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Oliver.
There's real no real nickname for that.
No,
either.
Ollie? Ollie?
Ollie's nice.
No, Ollie is not
I like
nice.
Ollie.
Ollie is a name for
a kid.
Rose Wright, that sounds like a dog.
It's an orange cat. It really is. The Disney movie.
Right. It's or Oliver Twist or, you know, it's Oliver. I don't know. Ali Mata. I don't know. Something different. Okay. So Oliver. Mason at number 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems big.
That's a big one.
Lucas. Right. That's a big one. Grayson at
yep.
number 6.
I've heard of some Graysons.
I just think of Grayson Allen from Duke.
Ugh.
All right. Now, this is where it gets confusing. At 5 and 4,
mm-hmm.
Caden and Aiden.
Those are such popular names. My daughter's school.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Casey, like Aiden, Brayden, Jaden.
Right.
But I've heard Aiden for a girl as much as a boy as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Noah at number 3.
Yeah.
And yep, very popular.
Very biblical. Liam.
Yeah.
Not William,
huge.
But Liam.
Liam's massive.
Yeah, that one's big. It is.
I feel like every other baby announcement I see, it's Liam.
Mm-hmm. It's a great name.
How's Liam? Aiden Liam.
Oliver Liam.
Oh, it's a daughter? How's that?
How's Aiden?
Caden
or Isabella?
And then number 1. Anybody want to venture a guess here for the boy?
Ooh, okay.
I would have went Liam. I thought Liam was number 1 in the boy power ranking names right now. But
nope. Top boy's name of 2018.
Hunter.
Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Isn't that Cuddy's kid's name?
Yes, I think it is one
or
of his
some
kids.
Celebrity's famous.
I like Jackson.
You know, it sounds like Southern slave owner to me. I don't know.
Like a negative filter on all of these.
I can't take my own life's sense of history out of my analysis of anything. And so then when it comes to Jackson, I'm like, I'm not going to name the, you know, Jackson, because it's like, you know, I don't feel good about it.
Call him Jack. That's a cool
right.
name.
But if you want to name the kid Jack, just name him Jack. Or name him John and call him Jack.
Does anybody do that anymore? The John Jack thing?
I think that, that was big in the 60s.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, when I heard that, I was like,
John
wait,
Kennedy.
Why are they calling him Jack? What's happening?
Well, remember the 62, you had William was Dick?
Yeah.
What?
Or Richard.
No, Richard.
Richard was Dick. I'm sorry. Right.
No, William was a
not
dick.
Not as William was a dick. Richard was shortened to Dick.
Totally different situation, right?
But still, you don't see that as much anymore.
Right. Right, well, William was Bill or Billy, and then it all of a sudden it became Liam.
Yes.
Right? And
right.
They were like, oh, we're going to go with Liam.
Oh, for William? That's
yeah.
short now?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
yeah.
has been short. That's
that.
Where it all came from.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. That's the British, Scotch, Irish,
yeah.
you know, Welsh version. They don't. I mean, they can call you Billy, but Liam was the, that comes right out of William.
Like Liam Neeson.
Mm-hmm. Which is you know, comes from the, you know, the root is warrior.
Oh.
Is the, William is a warrior. From the,
William know. Wallace.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, also from William is from Guillaume, which is the
French version
for warrior. There you go. Well, that little history lesson for everybody. Wow. Yep. I don't know what I can do for Caden and Aiden, but I can tell you that.
Becca, do you got anything on that one? Amber?
Amber comes from the
native tongue of the playpen.
Amber comes from VIPs. All right. Let's check in now with Kim. What's going on in the news at the... Are you Kimberly?
I am Kimberly.
Okay.
Which I was surprised because that's kind of an old school name. But anyway... Israel may soon have a prime minister, but after today's elections, there appears to be no clear-cut winner. We'll bring you the latest coming up at 5.
All right, coming up at top 5 at 5. Oh, man. There is... solid gold in the top 5 and 5.
Great material.
Oh my God. There's like 2 of the 5 are some of the best of the year.
Really?
Yeah, but you have to have a stomach for it.
Mm. Stomach.
Yeah.
That sounds
might be something that's
kind of gross.
Know, yeah, it's a little it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown is being sued by his doctor.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. And to something sort of unspeakable happened during a physical exam. And apparently it's all caught on tape. That's all coming your way. Stay tuned for that. But first, from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, Kim Gordon's got all of your news reporting in 2 minutes. All right, we got to get right to the top 5 and 5 because there are things happening
it's
here.
The top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado questioned Corey Lewandowski today during his testimony before the House Judiciary Committee. He asked the former White House official whether he agreed that the Democrats on the panel had become, in the phrase of Vladimir Lenin, useful idiots who are continuing to do Moscow's work in undermining confidence in democracy.
Do you believe that Vladimir Putin is sitting in his office right now in the Kremlin, laughing at what those on the other side of the aisle are doing and believing that those on the other side of the aisle are useful idiots helping?
Objection, Mr. We cannot attribute derogatory names to our colleagues or motives to our colleagues. Be described as idiot. Never in my life or my colleagues have we ever discussed behaving like idiots.
This is such an interesting turn because obviously the Lewandowski testimony here, you know, this all these testimonies that become very that are political in their nature, they get orchestrated, right? So, in this particular case, this is a House committee, so the Democrats are in the minority and the majority, the Republicans are in the minority. Republicans, they plan on who was going to ask the questions, what questions were going to be asked.
Sure.
Obviously, this from Congressman Buck was very, very specific, to go through the history of how the left had been co-opted by the Soviets over the years, or at least, you know, during the Red Scare, there was a fear of that. There were, you go back over 100 years, John Reed, the journalist that the movie Reds is made about him, that there was, you know, he had been co-opted, but then late in life, he realized it, wrote a book about being co-opted. And so the term useful idiot was being used. And what's fascinating to me is that even though it seems as though there are, whether it's, you know, people in the White House or other Republicans who are standing up and being very silent about what the Russians did in the 2016 campaign, seem like they are more in the bag for the Russians. This is a fascinating thing. This Republican congressman's turning it around and saying that all Vladimir Putin's trying to do is sow division, and he's because this is a duly elected president, and Trump is the victim of Vladimir Putin, and the Democrats are the useful idiots. It's like the ultimate jujitsu here.
Well, and it also just proves your earlier point that these things just become political theater. I mean, Lewandowski said that everything the president told me, I can't talk about because it's, you know, I'm not able to mention that. And then Rob Porter doesn't even show up. You know, the White House says that he shouldn't have to. So they're fighting to get him to show up. It just, I don't know what's being really accomplished.
What is fascinating on top of all of this is where this all goes in 2020, right? I mean, will the president, if he loses, will he blame Vladimir Putin? I don't think so. But, I mean, you know, could you see, I mean, this is, it's just become, he's Vladimir Putin and the Russians have become the boogeyman here. We don't know exactly where it is that they stand, although it seems pretty clear where their, what their intent was in 2016. It's wild. It's wild to watch. And nobody, and one of the statements that Corey Lewandowski made all day today when asked a question was, Donald Trump was a private citizen back in 2016 when he was running for president. It was not his job to secure the election. That was the job of the Obama-Biden administration, right? Throwing Biden's name into this. And they failed. He said that over and over again.
And he said that all the conversations he had with them later were privilege, executive privilege. So he's not going to talk about those either.
So if they failed to catch Vladimir Putin getting us elected, then that's their fault.
It's not on him.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
Oh, this is sad news for us here. Former colleagues of Cokie Roberts are mourning her passing. She was amazing. An amazing journalist and then turned commentator. And there is a difference. There is an important point to make there. Mm-hmm. She mentored young women.
No question. And men.
In journalism, but especially women that she wanted to see come up, because when she came into the game, you got to remember, she came from a political family down in Louisiana, and she was she wanted to make sure that women were more represented.
But she transformed that role of political reporter initially, White House correspondent, and ultimately political analyst, in terms of seeing a woman in a high profile position in the 70s. Then into the 80s.
And in the 1980s, when she and Sam Donaldson hosted This Week on ABC News, now the Stephanopoulos show, she became one of the first women in America to anchor a network news program.
Once we discovered that Cokie Roberts was smarter than the rest of us, it was just great. We not only had to accept her, we wanted to accept her. She'll be remembered as a great friend, a great, loving, kind friend who would go out of her way to do what you needed done if you needed some help. As a questioner, her technique was to be very soft, very nice, and very tough. What a combination.
Somehow she struck that balance. It's very true.
Sam Donaldson, though.
talk about
a generational thing there. Oh, we found out she was smart. Really?
Well, we welcomed her.
Well, how about that?
They were great together.
I'd never seen that before. I don't know. Oh, man.
How far we've come.
Yes.
How far there is still to go.
All right.
She's amazing, though. We interviewed her as part of her book tour because she also wrote books about women in history. And she's just a compassionate person, a student of history, and really amazing journalist.
Cokie Roberts was 75. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Roe opening statements today in the trial of two men accused of killing a 9-year-old boy whose father was in a rival gang. We'll bring you the details coming up.
Celebrate 25 years of Chicago Television's number one morning show. Watch a live 2-hour special full of memorable moments on the WGN TV Morning News 25th anniversary special. It is tonight at 7. Anna Beliveau will be on the show.
Coming up in just a few minutes.
That's right.
In a few mementos.
Past her bedtime, so we gotta.
That's true.
We'll talk to her for a few minutes.
Checking in at the top 5 at
number 3.
Dancing with the Stars season 28 kicked off last night, and Sean Spicer made his debut as a dancer.
His costume was blinding.
Yes,
it neon was green with lots of ruffles all over the place.
He ended up second to last. After what, because it only can be described as a very bizarre version of a salsa.
was shimmying with his whole shoulder. It was really...
That included him playing bongos in a fluorescent neon green blouse.
Dancing the salsa with his partner Lindsay, it's Sean Spicer.
All right.
Oh, God. Oh, God. The song.
Oh,
I know.
God.
It was like the Seinfeld puffy shirt, but neon green.
Backstage after the show, Spicer gave reporters a press briefing.
He did the best ever, period. I don't know. I think he had a great time. He really showed that he was having fun, had a blast doing it. And this was not the guy that we've ever thought we'd see before. Playing the bongo drums to the Spice Girls, wearing a lime green shirt that's half open. None of those four things would ever come up in anything that I would have ever done before in my life.
Nor should you have ever done in your life.
Everybody on that show kind of,
he
you know.
Tweeted that the judges were against him, and then he pulled the tweet.
Hmm.
He doesn't get that he's working for ABC now. He's not working for, this isn't politics.
Yeah, some things you just can't take out of a person. I mean, it's not the White House, Sean. Well, I don't know if actually anyone would allow him to wear a shirt like that where he looks like a human highlighter around the White House.
I wish he wore that shirt to press briefings.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I say that again to me in my ear, that he wanted people to Christians to vote for him.
Yeah, he said, what did he say about God? That, you know, this is something
Christ should compel you to vote for him.
Right.
That's a line from The Exorcist. I just want to point that out. Okay. What the hell is wrong with him? Well, I guess I mean it's he thinks that this is like a that everything is politics. Everything's politics, these guys. So, all right, well, we wish him the worst of luck. Checking in at
number two.
Your child can now get a bedtime phone call from one of their favorite Disney characters. Disney has announced a toll-free bedtime hotline to give parents a break. That's right. You don't want to have to waste your time getting your kid to sleep.
No, have a computer or something do that for you.
Yeah.
That's modern
Alexa
parenting.
Alexa will do it.
Why not?
I don't want to talk to him. Have someone else talk to
yeah.
him.
Yeah, give it to Mickey Mouse. He'll handle it.
Alexa, read a book.
You can do that now. Don't laugh.
That's true. But you...
you can play bedtime music, right. Set alarms.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Alexa, read something to... Blah, 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 blah.
Right, remind...
I can't even remember my own kid's name.
But you it ends with an A. That's the only thing we know. She's a girl and it ends with an A. Yeah, the problem is if you ask Alexa to do that, she might end up like 50 Shades of Grey or something, and that would be bad for the kids.
God.
Little Jaden Amelia is going to have to answer the question of, like, what are handcuffs? Anyway, this is not what I'm talking about.
No. It's totally different.
There's Disney magic being added to bedtime. One of these six special goodnight messages comes from either Mickey Mouse.
Hey there, pal. It's me, Mickey Mouse. Gosh, am I glad you called. I can't wait to tell you about my day. Toto and I went fishing and to the dog park, and then we had a picnic with Minnie. And now, after all that excitement, I sure am ready for bed. Just gotta take Toto for his walk and brush our teeth. Say, I bet it's almost your bedtime, too. Well, I hope you have some really fun dreams.
I just wonder if it would stimulate kids more to hear, like, some of their favorite characters. Like, they want to watch the whole show.
Hey, kids! Go to bed to sleep!
Why doesn't Mickey care about the kids?
Stay in bed!
He should, like, what the real parents are saying.
Mickey doesn't even ask about their day, though.
No, not interested.
Rude.
The Yoda one you'd like, Lauren.
Ooh,
Yoda. Feel the force today around
you. To a close, my young Padawan. And yet still you think of adventure. Excitement. For the Jedi, time to sleep as well it is. Find your adventure in dream, young Padawan. Close your eyes and reach out with your feelings. Feel the force surround you.
Oh, no.
Like a blanket it is. Yes.
I've run the hell out of the bed.
I want a sports version of this. Like a dick guy, get your ass to sleep. Or get your ass out of bed. Let's go.
Right, in the morning I think those would be great. Motivational.
Like the Yoda
like Dick
one.
Buckus, like, get out there and attack today, son.
The kid goes running out because Yoda scares him. Mickey, get your ass back in bed! Oh, man. All right. If you want that, it's 877-7-MICKEY.
You don't have to pay for it either. It's free, right?
Well, it's an 877 call. It's toll-free, right?
I think it's free.
There'll probably be some add-ons eventually. Yeah. Get the premium version of Mickey Tells Your Kid Go to Bed.
Right.
Enter your phone number. Enter your phone number and we'll contact you for future opportunities, promotional opportunities.
Jackson, it's time to go to bed. Layla, Mia, Aria.
All right. And finally, checking in at
number one.
Prepare yourselves, people.
Okay.
Here we go.
Is this the gross one you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. Antonio Brown's former doctor says that the now New England Patriot, you're welcome, Anna, still owes him $11,000 in unpaid fees. Dr. Victor Prisk says he was wary of the sign that then Pittsburgh Steeler because he had a reputation of being flighty and not paying his bills, but agreed to take him on anyway as a client. During one appointment, Prisk says Brown showed up 3 hours late, then did the unthinkable. He had one of his friends film the body fat exam while he passed gas through the process.
Ugh.
Oh, no.
Prepare. What is he, 12 years old?
Ugh. Prepare yourselves,
acts
people.
Like it.
Let's see. Ah. Damn, my bad, though. I didn't even get that while you're still in there. It's pretty freaking low. Sometimes you bodybuilders, this is pretty freaking low.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Shows up 3 hours late and owes him $11,000.
I like it, and he's squeezing the body fat on his stomach while he's doing that. And then all of a sudden, Antonio Brown says, you know, congratulations, Robert Kraft. This is a guy right after your own heart. Do you think that Robert Kraft
did that when he got pinched too hard?
When Ming Fu Hulu was there, too? Come on, I got to get to the AFC Championship game. I don't have time for this. Let's move it along.
This guy, I think you know what you're getting there, right?
That's right. Get out of the way. I got a private plane to catch.
Don't squeeze too hard. I'll pass gas.
Is there? I mean, like, there's a connection.
Oh, God. Oh, God. All right.
Rude.
There you go.
Oh, sorry. I know I'm 12, but...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
I feel like this guy...
The top 5 at 5.
Anna, what's coming up tonight on WGN-TV?
Well, Ro, I'm happy you asked about that. Celebrating 25 years of Chicago Television's number one morning show, we've got the two-hour special for that 25th anniversary WGN morning show.
Annabelle Laval joins us as part of that. She's around town. She can't help herself. She just gets into a vehicle. Sometimes the vehicle has a camera in it. Sometimes it doesn't. And then the next thing you know, she finds herself at a bounce house or at a bar that's open way too early in the morning or someplace where they're making a costume for something that I never fully understood what the costume was for.
Craziness ensues.
Yes, and then you wear it. And I'm not... I mean, it's like did you know that there's a Lederhosen factory in Chicago? No, I had no idea.
Anna's going to tell us about it.
But Annabelle Bell knows. Well, what is... Of all the things, how many years have you been on the show?
So I've been on the show 14 of the 25 years,
wow.
But Around Town has been on the air for the entirety of WGN Morning News.
Who was it before
you'll see tonight.
I don't remember that.
Was it Larry?
Yeah. Yeah, so Larry was the one originally hired, and he was so fantastic.
Really? I don't remember those days.
Wasn't. You'll see it tonight. And then you'll see clips of everyone that came before me. The outstanding Joni Lum. Wait till you see Joni, because, you know, Joni has a really dry sense of humor. She was so good.
Does.
I remember watching her when I first moved here, and I worked at Univision. I always wanted to work on WGN Morning News, and here we are.
She was great in that role, too. You are amazing in that role.
Thank you.
It just feels like the creativity over there, the juices are flowing at every level, from the producer and executive producer, Jeff Hoover, all the way down to the on-air talent. It's like you challenge each other, and no one takes it to themselves too seriously.
No, we try not to. Yeah. And we do it all for the good of the show. And we're very much into that improv Second City mantra of yes and just ask for forgiveness later. So, and, you know, we've always had, the great thing is that we've all gone, a lot of the producers were interns. Our news director was our producer, an executive producer. So we're like a family that knows each other really well and trusts each other. So, you know, when we make mistakes, we make them together. And the point is, just try it. And if it doesn't work on TV, we don't do it again. Or then we just underline the flaws.
Dare to fail kind of thing, too.
Dare to fail.
And it's so weird because, you know, you think about all the consultants who have moved through and, you know, the things that they've done to sort of make every single morning show across America look so similar in terms of even the way the anchors stand and sit and the sets and the whole graphics packages and everything becomes so like homogenized. And you guys have stayed number one, but also you've stayed in this creative zone of just doing your own thing. It's so cool.
And even every time they hire someone new, like the entire staff, they call themselves the B team, but Dan and Lauren and Sarah and Morgan and Marcus, when they hire people here, and it happened with Val and Pat and I, their personalities that mesh well with us, that the chemistry is going to be good, that they're going to be game for everything. And except for me, almost everyone, and Marcus, almost everyone that joins the show that is not from Chicago is like, what the heck did I just sign up for? Because they expect like the Today Show, which is what my parents expected. Disappointed now.
Yes, a little different.
Yeah.
Well, that's Chicago, the Chicago style. That's what they call it, or the Chicago school of television, which goes back to Dave Garraway with a monkey walking around.
Right.
It's always been, radio's the same way. It's always been iconoclastic and in a different sort of way, not what you'd expect anywhere else.
Right.
So the funny thing about this, though, is that, you know, Channel 9, always a really traditional presentation. Right. You know, you go back to Channel 9 in the 60s and 70s, and it was, you know, guys wearing the Channel 9 patch. And when the morning show came on, they decided to turn that on its head and make that a piece of comedy that, you know, I got to give it to the corporate fathers here. And may they rest in peace. But that they let that happen because you know, a lot of people were worried about the brand getting tarnished, and it didn't. It made it much better.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who got to decide how you boiled down 25 years into 2 hours? Did you have a say in this, Anna?
So Mike Wilder has been the captain of this ship, and all our very creative producers have come up with new clips. But with the oldies but goodies, they allowed us to go out and find them. So, and the producers helped a lot because remember, we've been here for 25 years. So we've gone from betas to CDs to cards to downloading stuff. So every format needed to be transferred. And you know how well newsrooms file video, right, Anna?
It's all over the place. It's like, who knows?
I mean, like, you'll need July 27th, you'll find 26 and 28, but you won't find 27.
Yeah, so true.
So you have to set your expectations low, but between Robin and Larry and all our producers and me, Dean, so I was in charge of the Around Town compilation. Dean did his entertainment one, and so on and so forth. We have everybody's first day. We have most embarrassing moments, that kind of thing.
So of all the things that you've done, you don't have to necessarily give it away now, but of all the things you've done, what is the one you'd like back?
To never do it again or to do it better?
No, just, well, either one.
Every so week there's something, row.
But is there something that stands out in these 14 years there that you're like, oh my God. It's like a story you constantly tell.
Of the 14 years, something that I've
that
constantly
you did,
tell was bad.
Yeah, that was something that just went, did not go as planned.
Well, we went to a bird watching place that had no birds.
Oh, yeah. Very visual.
Because they were, and I said, at least a stuffed bird. And then they had a lady singing a bird song with the piano.
Oh,
oh boy.
And then when her song ended, she blew kisses to the camera.
Mm-hmm. It's like Grey Gardens. Yeah.
And then I've also done, there was a gym that where the owner got really mad because we had to cancel his live shot because clearly there was a deer in the middle of a lake, frozen lake, that needed to be saved. And we had to go live. And he was really mad that we kept postponing his live hits because he wanted to get his airtime. And he almost got in a fight with my producer and kicked us out.
Oh.
Yeah. That's only happened once. I don't think otherwise. It's all been salvageable. Every week there's something that it was like, that wasn't what was promised. And we've learned. So a lot of public relationists hate us because we're like, no, we just don't want to do a restaurant just because it's opening. We want, we need the angle. We need the...
Something fun.
We need something fun.
What's remarkable, Anna, is that you guys turn moments like what you've just described into something fun. And I think that's something you guys do so well. Like that famously, the moment when the audio and the mics failed on Larry and Robin.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh my gosh. When we
holding
missed,
up handwritten notes.
Yeah. And when we missed the implosion of the bridge.
Yes.
We had Wayne Newton with us. And Wayne Newton, we were going to have him. Tom Barnes, our producer, had this dream of having him sing Donkashen down the river. And we had him on the... Vegas had hired him for this extravaganza. And he was going down the river with all these Vegas, girls dressed. And he was supposed to... He forgot the words to Donkashen.
Wayne Newton did.
Wayne Newton. So he lip synced, but there was no voice coming out. And my producers kept saying, we can't hear him. We can't hear him. And in the corner of the boat, I'm like, that's because he's not singing. And it, so those moments, I mean, we've done rallies where we're throwing hot dogs at people first thing in the morning. And so we create a lot of our content out of really weird ideas that our producers come up with and that we come up with. And then we just band together and do it.
Wow.
Love that.
Well, it is going to be quite an extravaganza. Now, I would just like to know the answer to this because we're talking to Ben Bradley earlier today. Uh-huh. And he said he did not get an invitation to the fun room.
Yeah, what's that all about?
And although Mr. Donlan did get an invitation to the fun room, we'd like to know what the fun room is.
That's where I'm going to be.
And what is are you the master of ceremonies
Let's
in the fun
say
room?
Dean Richards and I are in uh-huh. charge of the fun room. And fun lounge. Sorry, fun my lounge. Producer is correcting me. And I brought two gowns.
Oh, that sounds
and
fun.
Dean
costume change
because he wants to wear his two tuxedos that he doesn't wear enough.
Oh,
and so sure. It's going to be fancy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be red carpet. If we find a red carpet, or it may just no red carpet. Oh,
you
just
know,
a step and repeat.
You know
no
what?
Red carpet. Okay.
The red carpet. You know what? It has a red carpet. If you get the Bozo bucket game,
yes.
You take the buckets off. That's a red carpet.
That could be.
That's just. It's like
that
a red
work.
Strip. You could do that.
That could work.
Or just take the bucket strip out there and just have people move around the buckets.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. People go nuts with the buckets. We took them to Union Station and people were insane playing it.
I know. People love it.
Why was Ben Bradley not invited? Why was he not invited to this?
Well,
he was very upset about it.
Ben. I don't know. I'm not in charge of the guest list.
Okay.
Oh, this is always when I was never invited to a party. This is always what I heard. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, and I didn't know. I wasn't in charge. Mm-hmm. Who was in charge? Caden and Aiden were in charge.
Go talk to them.
Yes, I don't know who they are. Mike. Mike was in charge. Which Mike? Oh, the guy named Mike. I don't know.
Yeah.
He suggested that he and Joe Donlin are never allowed to be in the same place in case an anchor was needed for major
Big
happenings.
That's exactly right. That's why sometimes when we go, we take the whole show on the road, we leave people here in case something really bad happens.
And it's always Ben.
It's always Ben. Yeah. He's the designated survivor. Is that the name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, my God. We're totally dead. That's the worst news ever.
You trust him.
Right. He's the guy.
He's
the guy that's going to save this entire company.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
So,
all right.
But anyway, guys, thank you so
Have
much
fun.
For having
We're
us.
We're excited about
right.
it. That's awesome.
I'm going to go get my makeup done. I was just listening to the Dick Durbin interview,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed that he called Anna, and I
yep.
want to take credit for changing that in
That's
the world.
Right. People used to confuse you and me. Remember, I came on the WGN Morning
yes.
Show one time just to prove that Anna Balaval and Anna DeVlantes were different
people.
And mm-hmm. so we appeared side by side. I remember that, because they used to send like hate mail that would say, Anna DeVlantes did yep. this wrong, or Anna Balaval,
me.
And I'd get some of it too.
Yeah.
But different people.
But it flattered me.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I like being compared to you.
You're
a very smart, beautiful woman. So
thank you, Anna. And you do a fantastic
Rome,
job.
You're okay. But, you know.
What am I? I'm just sitting here? This is why Ben didn't get invited.
No.
Ben and I did not
We're
get invited
not
to the
you
fun
too,
house.
Ro. We because, always go to the Harry Carey toast and you make it fun.
Because, well, yeah, thank you.
Do you do that well.
Yeah.
You do that well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You do one thing well.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I want to be remembered for that.
Oh.
All right. Anna.
Yes.
Have a great time
tonight. Have fun tonight.
Oh, the guy that didn't invite Ben Bradley just came into the office if you want to talk to him. I'm kidding. He'll kill me. Guys, 7 to 9. If you are not next to your TV, watch it on WGNTV.com.
We'll be watching.
All right.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna.
Anna Badabal.
She is just so fun.
Let's check in with Kim Gordon. Kim Gordon. What's happening at the top of the hour news?
Ro, if you owe back taxes, the state has a deal for you. We'll tell you about it coming up at 6.